I want to speak to us today about really believing in Jesus Christ. Really, truly believing everything about Jesus Christ. We have several scriptures in mind. Lord help us. I hope I won't weary you or be a problem. But Psalms 116, wonderful psalm to me. You ever read it much? I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. Because He has inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. And verse, it's just all good, but I want to especially take notice of verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. Now, I appreciate that song. I don't remember ever hearing that song. I made up my mind. Well, that's what believing is. Believing, the word believe, has reference to confidence, assurance, persuasion. Decision. All those things. Trust. That's another word that goes along with believing. I believe. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. But he said, I believe. And that scripture is quoted in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul quotes that. As it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. When you believe something, like you should, you have great confidence that it settles all questions and all doubts. You believe. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I came to a place in my early years of life, about the age of teenage years. I was taught about Jesus. I had a godly praying mother. I went to Sunday school here at Guthrie, over in the old chapel. I had Sunday school teachers, godly Sunday school teachers, that taught me about Jesus. I remember my first Sunday school teacher, her name was Ozelle Wyatt. Anika remembers her. I remember her telling about Jesus, teaching us about Jesus, and the tears coming to her eyes. That had an effect on me. I grew on up and went to school and got influenced by the world, worldly young people, and come on up into teenage years. Finally, I graduated in about 1956, 56 years ago, in 1956. But it was that summer that I became persuaded that Jesus was the Lord and Savior. that he died for me, that he rose from the dead, and that he also ascended up to the right hand of God and was there interceding for me. I became persuaded about that. I knew of other young people that were taught just as much as I was, but they didn't go the way I went. I gave my heart to the Lord in July of 1956. I sought the Lord everywhere I went, out working for my uncle, out driving a tractor, pulling a double disc and this and that. I was out there praying as I worked. As I went home, out northeast of Guthrie, as I would drive home, I would be praying as I drove. I was seeking the Lord with all my heart. I went to Monarch Springs camp meeting that year. I wanted to go. I wanted to go and get good to my soul. I remember sitting in meeting and hearing the messages go forth and weeping and joyously receiving. One brother, Brother Isaac Chandler, preached on what it costs our salvation. I sat there and wept to think about Jesus suffering and dying for me. I believed it. I went to the altar seeking the Holy Spirit. I believed that the Holy Spirit was to come into my life. I sought the Lord earnestly for that. I believed that it was for me. Isn't that wonderful? You believe, what you believe determines the course you're going to take in life. If you believe really that Jesus was the Son of God, let's go to John 3:16. You know what that says, don't you? Do you believe? John 3, and I'll start at verse 14. This is the words of Jesus himself, and speaking to Nicodemus, who came to him by night. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever eternal life. See, Jesus brought about Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness when the Lord had sent serpents, was biting the children of Israel, and they were dying. And the Lord said, make a brazen serpent and hang it up and tell everybody to look to that. And I've wondered sometimes, wonder if there were some people that didn't want to look, wouldn't look. All they had to do was to look up at that serpent. As the serpent was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a wonderful set text? One of the teachers in our congregation had Thursday afternoon young people's meeting at her house. And that was one of the scriptures that she had as learned by heart. Got John 3:16. That's still a great scripture to me. God so loved the world. He so cared. He's so interested. He's so concerned. He was so merciful and gracious that He gave. He sent to the world. And He allowed His Son to suffer and die for us. That he whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? You like that scripture? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Praise the Lord. He that believeth not is condemned already. He just automatically. You're condemned because you don't believe. Because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus spoke those words. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to notice now another precious scripture in 1 Peter 1. I love the Apostle Peter's writings. It's very precious to me. Blessed be, 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, through believing, through being persuaded, through having confidence and trust, ready to be revealed in the last time. You believe there's going to come a judgment day, a last day? You believe that? Do you believe that we're going to have to all stand before the great judge of all the earth and give an account of our lives? You better believe it, because it's the truth. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptation. There are many obstacles and adverse things in life that'll keep you from believing if you allow it. Difficulties, adversities, obstacles, hindrances, evil influences that'll keep you from believing. It worked on me when I was young. I'm glad I overcame it and got persuaded in my mind that it was true. I want to believe and trust and give up. I gave up the world. I gave up my things I had in the world. I gave all up. I wanted to go to college, and get an education, and make big money. But when my faith in Jesus overcame all those silly notions, and I gave up all my plans. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaven is for manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Now your faith, your believing, is going to be put to the test. It's going to have obstacles and adversities, difficulties and hindrances. But it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. How much is gold nowadays? Bunch of rubbish. I'm not interested in it. I found something better than gold. And that is my Christian faith. Though it be tried with fire, that trial of your faith may be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's going to be rewarded. It's going to be glorified. We've been through the battles and the hard places, the discouragements and the problems and the sorrows and the sufferings. And then when we see Jesus coming in glory and we've been faithful and true, it will be found unto praise and honor and glory at His appearing. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Don't see Him. I've never seen Him with these fleeting mortal eyes, but I have seen Him with the eyes of understanding. Isn't that a scripture, Ephesians 1, that Paul is praying for the dear ones? Let's read that. He ceased not to give thanks for them, verse 16, Ephesians 1, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. There you go again. Believe. How is your believing? Do you still believe it? Do you believe this? You children, listen to me. Do you believe what Brother Leslie's trying to say today? Do you believe what your mom and dad are teaching you? You better take some counsel and really get a hold of it, because it's the best thing and the only worthwhile thing in life, to live for Jesus. God is the greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come. And has put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things. You believe that? Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing in whom though thou you see Him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. The Lord has richly inspired my heart with these thoughts, just fresh. Well, let's see. Where shall we start here? He speaks about His prayer and desire for Israel, the natural, earthly Israelites. that they might be saved. They had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They were ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God, he said. And he's praying for Israel, Israelites. He was an Israelite at one time, and he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. But one day Jesus Christ smote him down on the road to Damascus when he was going to persecute and drag some of these people that believe in Jesus. He was against them. But when he was smitten down and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Lord, what would you have me to do? Can't you just see how he just wilted when he realized he's fighting against something that was real? And the Lord told him, said, Get up and go into town, and it'll be told you. But it says here in verse 4, But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. See? Got to have this believing heart. It's an end of righteousness. The law is no more. It's not the righteousness. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaketh on this wise. Now he's going to quote from Deuteronomy. Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend unto heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart, mouth, and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, your affections, your desires, your interests, your feelings, your emotions, and everything is connected with this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has what? Raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Where'd that come from? You know where that scripture is quoted? Isaiah 28:16. That speaks about the rock, the stone, which the builders and put down, and but it says, Whosoever believeth in him shall not make haste. That's the way Isaiah says it. But the New Testament translation shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's another scripture in Joel 2. And I was thinking about Isaiah 53, or Isaiah 28:16. But this is from Joel 2. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. Oh wait, I've gotten the wrong place. I'm sorry. Verse 11. The scripture saith, Whosoever believeth in him. I'm human, aren't I? Praise the Lord. But I'm trying. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. That's Isaiah 28:16. But then this other one is Joel 2. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. I'm thankful for that. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you been calling on him? Oh, I remember I called on him. I called on him. Lord, save me. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me of my sins. I called on the name of the Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, this is Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, now this is Isaiah 53:1. Lord, who has believed our report? Are you going to be one of those that really believe in Jesus Christ? Now, I want to ask you a few things. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was the Son of God, and is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary and his father was Almighty God and not Joseph? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he was born of a woman that had not been with a man? There was one man that the angel came to, and he was working in the tabernacle, the temple. And the angel came and told him that says, your wife is going to have a son. And he said, Zachariah said, how can this be? I'm old and stricken in years. The angel says, it's going to be, but you're not going to be able to talk until it happens. And when that man come out of that inner court to meet the people, he couldn't say a thing. He didn't say anything for, how about that? 9 months. Because his wife conceived right after that and brought forth a little son. I believe it was three months later, the angel of the Lord visited Mary. Or was it 6 months? Anyway, sometime after that. And the angel of the Lord told Mary that she was going to conceive and have a son. And she asked him, she questioned it. She said, how can this be? I know not a man. And then the angel told her, it says, the Holy Spirit will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. What did she say? Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel left, and she left too. Because the angel had told her also, said, your cousin Elizabeth has conceived in her old age, and she'll bring forth a son. She went out there to visit and see Elizabeth. And as she came in the door, isn't that wonderful? I love these stories. Don't you love them? As Mary came in and greeted Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. She knew She said, "How is it that mother, my Lord, cometh to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ear, I was filled with the Holy Spirit." Blessed is she that believes, for there shall be a performance. Isn't that wonderful? You want to be among those that believe? I tell you, I want to be among those that believe. And Mary and Elizabeth, what did Mary say? "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is great has done to me great things. Holy is his name." Oh, she was so glad. She stayed with Elizabeth several months, about 3 months. As she got back, we don't see this written in the Bible, but we know that it had to be. After she got back, she had to let Joseph, the man she was engaged to be married to, she had to let him know about what had happened to her. What was Joseph's reaction? He wasn't too inspired to believe it, was he? "Well, we're just going to have to call it off. Call off the marriage." And the angel of the Lord visited Joseph and said, "Go ahead and take Mary, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And he believed it, and he took it too. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary, and his father was God? That's very important for you to believe that. I believe it. I believe Jesus was born there in the stable at Bethlehem. What happened out on the hillside when that took place? There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And after the angel had left, and they was rejoicing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men," the shepherds said, "Let's go and see what the Lord has showed to us." And they went in and they found Joseph and Mary and the little babe lying in the manger. You know, dear ones, that's wonderful. They went back and was telling it all around. Thank the Lord. I believe that Jesus was born. Like the Bible says it. I believe it. I believe he grew up. And the day came when John the Baptist, the son of Zachariah and Elizabeth, he was starting to preach and fulfill the scripture. Isaiah 40. "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." John the Baptist began to fulfill that. He preached the baptism of repentance. And then one day, this Jesus came to be baptized. Oh, may the Lord help us. John says, "I ought to be baptized by you. You come to me." He said, "Let it be so now, for though it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And they went down into the water. And John baptized Jesus, and what happened as he come up? You believe that? The Holy Spirit, like a beautiful dove, came down and lit upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, what? This is my well-beloved Son. Hear ye him. Oh, my Lord. Do you believe all this? And Jesus was led by the Spirit after that out into the wilderness. For 40 days, he didn't eat or drink. You believe that? Well, that's impossible in human strength. You couldn't make it. But he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. Eat or drink. And then after it was finished, he was hungry. Very, very strong hunger. Well, you can imagine. And the devil came to him and suggested that he would turn these stones into bread. He wouldn't listen. No, he didn't. Man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil tempted him. Those three places, set him on high, up there on the pinnacle of the temple, and says, jump off. Because the scripture says, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, and they'll bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus says, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. He wouldn't listen to that. He overcame. Then the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the glory and the power and the wealth of them, and says, these are mine. I'll give them to whoever I want. If you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give them all to you. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He wouldn't listen. And you believe Jesus overcame the devil? He overcame every temptation, every trial. He overcame everything. He never was one time did wrong and sin. Never made a mistake. Never erred. He was victorious. Do you believe that Jesus healed people? He went out and he healed all manner of sickness and disease. The blind, the deaf, the lame, even raised the dead. Jesus did that in his ministry. Do you believe that he still is able to heal today? Do you believe that he is pleased with us putting our trust in him? Do you believe that? Or should we go to the doctors and medicine and operations? And should we do that because Jesus is not doing that anymore? Do you believe that? No. Jesus still is able to heal today. He can heal anything. And it's for us to trust in him. Look what else he did. Healed a woman that had terrible issue of blood for, what was it, 12 years? She crept up behind him and touched the hem of his garment and felt the whole thing. Just Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? I thought that. That's wonderful. Jesus felt the virtue go out of him. And the woman saw that she was not to be hidden. She came and, oh, I said, it's me. Told him all about it. I said, woman, great is your faith. Isn't it wonderful, all the miracles? How about the little 12-year-old girl that had been sick and her father came to get Jesus, and on the way they come and said, she's gone. Don't bother the master. She's dead. Jesus says, just believe. She'll be all right. Lord, help us today to have a believing heart. He healed all manner of sickness and disease. I think one of the greatest things was that man in the graveyard. I thought a lot about him. He had a legion of devils. Thousands of them. Legion is what? 6,000 or whatever. I don't remember. It's quite a bunch. And he was just out there, no clothes on, just moaning and groaning and carrying on, and saw Jesus, and he come running and fell down before him. What have I to do with thee, thou Son of God? Don't will you come to torment us? And Jesus rebuked the devils, and they come out of him. They come out and went into a big herd of swine and sent them all down the precipice and into the lake and drowned them all. And here was this man that had the legion of devils clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I love the stories of Jesus, don't you? One of my favorite songs is Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Right on my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how he's gone back to heaven. Oh, dear ones, tell of the cross where they nailed him. Writhing and agony. Do you believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Isn't that wonderful? He yielded himself. He didn't try to get out of it. He could have gotten out of it. He could have called for 12 legions of angels, he said. But he said, how shall the scriptures be fulfilled? He let them take him out and nail him to that cross. Our Jesus did that for you and me. Do you believe it? I believe it. I know he died for me. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did. They took him down from the cross and then went and laid him in a tomb. And the old Pharisees told Pilate, said, you better have somebody sitting there so the disciples will all come and get him and take him out, and then they'll say he's alive, and that'll be worse than ever. So Pilate says, all right, you go ahead and set your watch. So they sent some soldiers there to watch the tomb. And on the third morning, what happened? I've meditated on this many times. About Jesus. We know that the angels was there. And we know that the women came and found the tomb was empty and the stone rolled away. Now, I don't know all about it, but I believe that Jesus Christ come out of that tomb. I don't even believe he had to have the stone rolled away. They rolled away the stone so that they could look in there and see that he's gone. He was alive. He came out of that tomb. You believe that Jesus died and rose again? Isn't that wonderful? That's a wonderful thing to think. Jesus died and he rose again. He's alive forevermore. He was so full of resurrected glory that he could appear and disappear. He could go through doors that open. Two men walking along on the road to Emmaus after that evening, after all this word had come out about him being alive. They're walking along a distance of about 7 or 8 miles, what I figured they was walking along. And all of a sudden, a stranger come and kind of joined in with them and started talking. What you talking about? What are you reasoning about? You're so troubled. You're just a stranger here and you haven't heard what's been going on? What are you talking about? It's concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in word and deed before all the people, and the people, the Jews have killed him. But report has come this morning that he's alive. I don't hardly know what to do. They were reasoning, they were wondering about it. And the stranger says, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. They didn't realize it was him. They just thought this was a stranger. It was quite a message, wasn't it? You like some of those scriptures? You ever study some of them in the Old Testament? That's been one of my glorious themes in my life, is opening up the scriptures to Christ. Wonderful. And as they got to where they were going, the stranger made as though he would go on farther. "Well, I guess I'll go on. It's been nice talking to you and everything. But wait. Why don't you come in and tarry with us? What? Come on. You're welcome." So he went in. And while they sat there, this stranger took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to him. They knew him. They knew it's Jesus. What? Where'd he go? He's gone. Say, we better get back and tell everybody. They made that trip back to Jerusalem. That or where it was. Yeah, I guess it was Jerusalem. But oh, dear one, do you believe all that? They come and said, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon." And while they were sitting there, here Jesus came. Right into their midst. I want to read one more text. It's so wonderful. I love to read about Thomas. Can we read about him in the 20th chapter of John? In verse 24. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said unto them, 'Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." And then I can see him turn his face right toward Thomas. He knew what Thomas had said. "Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Don't be faithless. Believe. It's for your good. It's for your salvation. Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Wasn't that sweet? "My Lord and my God." I wondered if he fell on his knees before him. I believe I've seen one picture that him kind of falling on his knees before. I've enjoyed a lot of the pictures I've seen, but you know, I got to the place now that I don't look much at pictures that people have drawn, because I'm thinking about it, how it's revealed to my heart. And I've read about Thomas, how that he was a missionary into India, and there he suffered martyrdom, gave his life. for the Lord. And Jesus saith unto him, verse 29, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. That's the way we want to be. Do you believe that Jesus, after 40 days being with the disciples, do you believe that he started going up in their midst and he went up and disappeared in the heavens? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus ascended up to the right hand of God and there he is today interceding for you and for me? Do you believe that? I believe it. I know it. It's our privilege to go to him in prayer. It's our privilege to look to him. He's been there ever since. He's never had a vacation. He's never had a break. He's been on the job ever since he went to the right hand of God. And that's what he's doing right now. He's interceding. If you need to go to him in prayer, you have the privilege to go to him in prayer. One of my choice, oh, I shouldn't say that. I guess it's all good. But I love this one in Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read that in closing. Lord, help us. Oh, I appreciate the goodness. It's Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. You believe Jesus is the great high priest?
Yes.
That is passed into the heavens? Jesus, the Son of God, seeing we have this great high priest, and he's interceding for us. He's pleading with the Father. You say, well, why do we have to? Listen, the Heavenly Father knows what we need. And he sent Jesus Christ down here in human form to bear our sins and sorrows. And then he brought him back up to his right hand to intercede for us. We can come to him. Every one of us can come to him in prayer. You need to go to the Lord in prayer several times a day. And you ought to go with a prayer on your heart all the time. Because that's our life. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, our confidence, our faith, our believing. Let's hold fast. Don't let anyone or anything talk you out of it. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Can Jesus help us live above sin? He lived above sin, and he can help us to resist temptation. We will be tempted. There will be times when we will be put to test. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Now listen. Let us therefore come boldly with confidence, assurance, with believing. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boys and girls, young people, Jesus loves you and he's at the right hand of God interceding for you today. You can go to him, whatever your burden, whatever your need, whatever your desire, whatever your concern, you can go to him in prayer. I'm thankful that I've learned the value of prayer. We have some wonderful songs about it in our book. I'm glad that I've learned the value of prayer. Then there's one more thing I want to ask you. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is coming again? Do you believe that Jesus is going to burst through the skies and this world is going to melt away to nothing? I believe that. I'm living for that. That's what I'm living for. This thing, this old world, all these old cars and trucks and buses and airplanes and houses and streets and alleys and hot. Oh, this is a bunch of rubbish. It's all going to perish. It's all going to pass away. Furniture, refrigerators, and microwave ovens. All these things. It's all going to perish. This building here is going to be gone. You believe that? He's coming. With 10,000s of his saints and angels, the fire will burn. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Lord, help us to be counted worthy to meet that day. Help us to live holy, righteous. Help us to forgive our brother if they fail or come short. Help us to have a loving, kind attitude, merciful. If you don't forgive your brother, you will not be saved in that day. You've got to forgive people when they come short and fail. You've got to forgive them. He's coming again. I love the songs about we have in our book about He's coming. And is that one? He comes, He comes. That's quite a song. I believe it's going to be. I think about what Jesus said there in 21st chapter of Luke. Take heed to yourselves, lest by any means, any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. That's overeating, what that word means, overeating. And drunkenness. You can drunk on things more than just liquor and whiskey and beer. You can be drunk on pleasure, drunk on wealth, drunk on all these other things. Drunkenness and cares of this life. Be overcharged with all these things. And that day, so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare, talking about his coming now, as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Oh, Lord, help us. Should be part of our prayer life. Lord, help me to be ready. Help me to be counted worthy. Lord, help us today. Thank you for your time. Attention.